Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. Hey, it's with a lot of fun and fanfare that we get to reintroduce Kimberly Adams. She's president of the Fairfax Education Association out of Fairfax, Virginia. Kimberly, welcome back.
Hi, Charles. Good to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. You know, we're talking about education. Butch Santacola, the education watchdog, is just leaving the building. There he goes. And but, you know, that's Pennsylvania. But what's going on down in Virginia?
Well, it's always good to hear a lively conversation about what's happening in Pennsylvania. But we do have quite a bit going on here in Virginia, as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm.
the news today, or actually a couple days ago, is that we have a budget. What is the word I'm looking for? A windfall, I guess you could call it, that the governor has recognized significant savings, and they were able to meet their payroll for their state employees and their teacher employees. So I guess on some fronts, we're pretty happy there.
Well, there you go. That's a good thing. Are all the pension contributions up to date?
As of now, I believe we're getting on track. We were a bit behind, but of course the state did put that burden onto the localities, so we're seeing that being an issue, especially coming up in our next fiscal budget.
Well, and let's face it, Fairfax County is a pretty good-sized area. A lot of people, my goodness, if the county's falling behind, or the individual school districts are falling behind, is the state planning on coming in to support?
Well, you know, the state isn't going to do much to change their funding formula. We will see them reallocate funding next year. It actually may be to the detriment of some districts, such as Fairfax. It really is up to the locality to do this funding.
Well, there you go. What kind of feedback are you getting from parents and the rest of the community?
Yeah, well, parents definitely don't want to see their child's educational program decrease. They don't want to see, you know, things that have been thrown around here, like a cut to the electives that their children have, or the number of teachers per student. So we've got a lot of things we're talking about for our next fiscal year. And we've got some issues to work through around, you know, what does Fairfax County look like with a budget system the way it is, and the shortfall the way it's going to be.
Any suggestions on how we get that fixed?
Well, you know, a lot of local groups are working on things such as a meals tax. Fairfax County and the state of Virginia doesn't allow localities a lot of freedom for how they come up with the money, other than the local property tax and business taxes. So, you know, things like a meals tax have to go to referendum, and other kinds of taxes have to be voted on by the populace. So it's one way to change that formula, but it doesn't happen for a whole nother year at least. It's got to be set to go on to that referendum for a vote in November, and the deadline has already passed for this coming November, so it would be 2016.
Hmm. Well, there's that. What else are you guys working on right now?
Well, you know, the teachers' associations here in Fairfax, working with our superintendent, are trying to make sure that our next school year is as seamless as possible. One of the things that the superintendent and the school board have put in place for the coming school year is a change to our high school start times. You may have heard other places in the country who have looked at changing high school from being a very early start to a more later start that's more in tune with the bodies of our students at the high school level. So Fairfax County will implement that this coming school year for the first time.
Really, how difficult of a change is that going to be?
It's a significant burden to the system monetarily. I think it cost us a little more than $5 million, and that's a lot of it is the purchase of buses to increase the number of routes that we run. We actually run a larger bus fleet than most of the large bus companies in the country. So with over 1,200 buses running daily, we've got a lot of kids to move around with 187,000 students. It's a pretty big change with our high schools to flop them basically down to where our elementary schools run now. And there'll be some crossover probably in some areas where our high schools and elementary schools will enter school around the same time. So we've got to deal with a lot of traffic and congestion issues too. And a lot of people are doing a lot of work to make sure that that's as seamless as it can be, but it all depends on the number of people on the road. And here in Fairfax, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people, but it's an important thing for the students, yeah?
It sure is. I think, you know, FEA didn't have a position either supportive or an opposition to the change, other than we wanted to make sure that employees had the opportunity to move to schools where the time worked for their families. But we definitely wanted to make sure that, you know, student biology was taken into consideration with this. And all the research that we've seen shows that this is in the best interest of kids and their development at that age.
Right. You know, I've got a 15-year-old, and trying to get him out of bed in the morning that early is like trying to drag a bear out of a cave.
It sure is.
Yeah, ouch, drawn back. But it's a good thing, it's an important thing, and I'm glad to see you guys are doing it. You know, and when it's all said and done, it's going to be helpful for the entire community, that's for sure. So you've got that on your hands. Logistical issues aside, I can't believe you guys have 1,200 buses. Holy gee, that's a lot of yellow paint. But what else are you guys working on after that?
Well, you know, federally, we're looking at the changes to the ESEA, or the No Child Left Behind Act, as a lot of people refer to it, and how that will affect the number of tests we take in Virginia and in Fairfax County, and what those tests are used for. So, you know, lots of changes that might come through with the different votes in the Senate and the House. And once they bring that bill to conference, what that final bill looks like and how it will affect our students is something we're watching really closely.
There you go. There you go. Hey, listen, we're going to take a short break, Kim. When we come back, we'll talk some more about what's going on with the Fairfax Education Association and all the kids. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Hello, welcome back. I'm Gerald Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That's for sure. On the phone with us from Fairfax County and the Fairfax Education Association, we've got Kimberly Adams. Kimberly, welcome back.
Thanks, Charles. Good to be here.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Also in studio today, we've got John Hare, former business manager for SAG-AFTRA. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Charles. Happy to be here. Hi, Kimberly.
Always a pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure. You know, Kim, we're talking about some of the stuff that you guys are doing. One of the big changes is you're shifting the day for some of our teenagers that are going to school, getting it on a more biologically, and there's been some significant studies done about this, sound clock for them. So maybe less cave bears in the morning. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. We want to make sure that our kids are getting the best education, but we want to make sure they're able to access their education. So for a lot of our students, that 7:20 start in the morning is a little bit too early. Fairfax has pushed to an 8 o'clock start time, or even 8:15 for some of our high schools. So we'll see how that works this fall. We've got a large group of folks doing a study on us as we go through this change, and so we'll get some hard data to show some results, hopefully.
There you go. Nothing like being the national guinea pig, huh?
Right, as usual.
Yeah, as usual. So that's a good thing, I think. What else are you guys doing?
Well, you know, I mentioned ESEA and the reauthorization of ESEA and No Child Left Behind, and of course...
You know, I have a question about that,
sure.
If you have the time, Kimberly. Could you just talk a little bit, while legislation is changing, I think there's still the possibility it can go either way, and what would you say are your hopes and your fears about the legislation that's being discussed now? What could be the good thing that happens, or what could be the not-so-good thing that happens out of it?
Right. Well, there's a strong belief from my profession that we've shifted away from student learning, student opportunities, and we've shifted toward testing and labeling and punishing schools and students, punishing teachers. We're basing a lot of our teacher data on student test scores. In a lot of places, the test scores they're using don't measure the actual teaching that a teacher's done. So we had a case in one of our schools where a teacher was going to have all of their work based on scores that their students had in math, and they teach English. So, you know, there's an interesting take on what a teacher can be scored on based on student test scores and how they correlate to what that teacher actually teaches.
Right.
So, you know, NCLB really punishes a lot of schools and doesn't necessarily give a lot of light to what does that school have for opportunities for its students. So one thing that my association and the NEA has really pushed for is this opportunity dashboard to allow our elected leaders to really quantify and track the things that matter when it comes to student success. So whether a school has a librarian or a guidance counselor, whether those kids have access to the arts, whether those students have access to advanced coursework like AP and IB and athletic programs. And so we do have schools now that have been punished so deeply that they're focused on reading and math, and these students no longer have access to the things that we know make a well-rounded student.
Right, right. So in that case, then the legislation that we would hope would de-emphasize the test-taking for sure, right?
Definitely. I know there's a poll that Gallup put out through Phi Delta Kappa that shows that 77% of Americans actually believe that we have increased testing to hurt our students that have made no improvements in actually increasing our school's scores.
Right. You know, Kimberly, my wife is a teacher, and it never ceases to raise the hackles on the back of my neck when, you know, we get these people that come, they do not listen, they do not talk to, they do not consult. The primary and secondary subject matter experts on this, they just simply go ahead and make this stuff up and say, do it or else. And if you don't do it and you don't do it the way they want you to, you know, you end up hurting the kids. And I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous that they force this down our throats collectively as a society, and then they turn around and say, oh, well, look, see, we told you couldn't teach anyway.
Right. And definitely, you know, letting teachers teach, giving those teachers the time they need with their students, allowing for them to develop those class-based assignments that, you know, align with college and career-ready standards. They give us some flexibility to, you know, have actual input from teachers in creating these tests. It's not just Pearson that's creating the test. It's actually our teachers creating the test.
Right.
I mean, we're teachers. We're the inventors of the test. That's what we do. We know why assessments exist. We use them so that we can continue to build on the students' successes.
Yeah, nobody can pick on a kid better than a teacher. I'm telling you, you guys are really great. No, but seriously, you know, and that's it. I mean, you know, rely on the subject matter experts and let them get the job done. And my goodness gracious sakes alive, moms and dads, you know, pick up the phone, call the teacher, go in and see him and say hello. And you see, that way moms, dads, and teachers can pick on the kids at the same time. And it works so much better that way.
It really does. That collaboration between school and home is critical.
Yeah, and imagine my son, who's 15, with a cop and a teacher, his parents, you know, it's like he's done.
Yeah, well, you mentioned cops, and we do talk about that school-to-prison pipeline as another issue. And, you know, we want to make sure that our kids are getting everything they can. And my district right now is talking about, do we have to cut after-school programming as one of the things that our budget doesn't allow for. If we cut after-school programming, we're going to have more students that get into more trouble after school.
Right, sure.
And that's just, you know, we're increasing the problems we're going to have. So, you know, ESDA, the reauthorization, has to make sure that it meets the needs of our students in poverty. And I know that, you know, in Fairfax County, we've got 54,000 students living in poverty. That's more than the entire population of the D.C. public schools. We've got a real issue with students who need as much as they can get from their schools. They rely on those schools for meals. They rely on those schools for, you know, some of the basic needs that kids have when they come to an adult for help. So we've got to make sure we do it all for our kids. And I think part of this reauthorization is important because teachers need to be seen as a guiding force to our kids and not someone to be punished because our kids are failing.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's a wonderful thing. Hey, listen, we're going to get going, Kim, but before we go, how do we find out more about you and what the folks at the Fairfax Education Association are doing?
Well, people can always reach us online. We do have a website at fairfaxea.org. They can reach me directly at president@fairfaxea.org. We're on Facebook, of course, at Fairfax Education Association, and on Twitter at @FEA_Fairfax.
Fantastic, Kim. We appreciate it. If there's anything we can ever do, don't hesitate. We're here for you, okay?
Thanks, Charles. I appreciate it and all your work on behalf of our union brothers and sisters.
Oh, man, now I'm blushing. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.